Well, good morning, Conquerors class. This is Brother Ray Shutt, your teacher, and I'm coming to you today by recording this past Sunday morning, February the 16th, 2025. We began lesson number 7 from our series entitled Walking Wisely in a Foolish World. The lesson is entitled The Wisdom of Purity. And it's going to be found in the book of Proverbs, chapters 5 through 7, and other various scripture passages. But we had some technical issues, and we were not able to record the lesson live as we normally do. So today I'm coming to you with the lesson. Just going to re-record it for you. We did not get to finish it, and I did not want to start part 2 of the lesson series on the website there, and you not have the part that we finished up this past Sunday. So today, being Sunday, February the 16th, 2025, we want to begin this lesson number 7 entitled The Wisdom of Purity. Our lesson theme verse is found in this passage of Scripture found in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 23 and 24, where the Bible says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman." As we begin the lesson today, I want us to look at this. And, you know, our world and its many societies and cultural activities seem to all revolve around a central theme today. Sadly to say, it's immorality and sexual perversion. And these things run rampant throughout our world today and yield multiple consequences and promote a general lifestyle among those who indulge in it of personal deceit, prolonged deception, problematic disease, not even to mention a multitude of other violent activities. I'm reminded of what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, where Moses wrote these words, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And that wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." You know, that's a sad passage of Scripture, but when God created the earth and all that was therein, the Bible said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. But by the time man chose to disobey God, the very God who created him, and began doing his own thing, so to speak, and you get down to Genesis chapter 6, verse 6, we read these sad words, that it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Isn't it sad when every man chooses to simply do that which is right in his own eyes, and then they expect everyone else to go along with it, even if it happens to be wrong in the eyes of God? But folks, that's exactly where we are in our society today. And the world has little or no regard for what the Word of God has to say about anything, especially in light of moral purity. But regardless of what man thinks or believes, God's Word has a lot to say regarding the wisdom of purity. And that's what I want us to look at today in this wonderful lesson. Let's look at it today. The wisdom of purity. Number one, I want you to see the rewards of sexual purity that are clearly seen in the Word of God. While the world views things today in a different manner, and the world's view of things may have changed over the time, God's view of purity has not changed, nor will it ever change. You see, the need for purity has not changed through time. Therefore, our focus today as we look at this lesson is going to be on the unchanging truth from God's precious and holy Word. It is true that Solomon's legacy of wisdom is of great help to us as God's children today, but sadly, later on in life, Solomon chose to disregard the very wisdom that God gave unto him, and he therefore failed to take heed to his own wise counsel. You say, "Preacher, how do you know that?" Well, turn with me, if you will, to the book of 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 6, here the Bible says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Isn't that sad today? My goodness. And look what else the Bible said. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Folks, this is a sad epitaph for anyone living for the Lord to turn away from God. And the Bible said that Solomon loved many strange women. Don't you think that one woman is enough for anybody? But he went after all these strange women, those that did not know God. And it's important that we understand, as we study this lesson, that while man may have changed his way of thinking about things, the holiness of God will never change. It will never change. Psalm 119, verse 89 said this, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." They may come out with a new Bible that has perverted the word of God and changed the way that God says things ought to be. But folks, man's ideas and God's ideas are not always the same. God's word never changes. And while what Solomon wrote is true and it is accurate, God made certain that these same great truths were recorded and taught throughout both the Old Testament as well as the New Testament scriptures through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Thank the Lord for that. You see, God highly esteemed sexuality within a marriage from the very beginning of His creation. God's blessings upon marriage are seen as early back as Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, where the Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. I want you to see that. There are not 72 different sexes or varieties of this. God created them male and female. And look at this. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Again, in Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 24, we read here that the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone." You see, God knew what was best for man. God knows what's best for man today. And God said it was not good that the man should be alone. He said, "I will make him an help, meet for him, worthy for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, wow, wow. Can you imagine that when Adam saw his wife that God created for him? The Bible said, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This was the purpose that God created one man for one woman for one lifetime. Now we see God's symbol of commitment, consecration, all throughout his word. Take a look at this with me today in Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 22, where Solomon wrote, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Man, I have that verse marked in my Bible, and I'm thankful for God giving me a good wife. Paul wrote over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, he said, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Isn't that great? God saw the need of every man and every woman, and God made a way for them to not be alone, not to be looking for the wrong answers in the wrong places. God divinely ordained marriage. And we need to see that. God's original intent for marriage was, as Jesus explained in Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 and 5. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. You see, God's design for a man and a woman is a reward of purity and beauty inside that marriage relationship. But point number two, I want you to see this. I want you to see the price of sexual impurity as seen in the Word of God. Here in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 5, Solomon challenges his own son to view marriage correctly and to avoid compromising God's design for the devil's perversion. Look at it with me here. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. He said, let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Go back up in that same chapter to verses 3 and 4. And here Solomon explicitly explains to his son the facts. He said, my son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. You see, Solomon knew that his son, even as you and I today, could be tempted to compromise purity for impurity. And God's word for our own feelings would sometimes be compromised if we were not careful. And we could even lose sight of the terrible consequences of sexual impurity and sin. And it's because of this that Solomon illustrates the high price of willingly ignoring God's plan for sexual purity. And he shows both his son and you and I today that this type of sin destroys the one who commits it. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32, where he writes these words, whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Today, Hollywood portrays sexual promiscuity as an art, as an opportunity to express oneself, while it hides the fact that this type of lifestyle leads only to shame and eventual judgment from a holy and righteous God. But while Solomon uses the consequences of sexual impurity as a motivation for remaining pure, this should not be the only motivation that you and I observe for keeping ourselves pure in God's sight. Listen, folks, our love for God should be our main focus for keeping our hearts and our lives pure in God's sight. Remember what Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 teaches us. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Folks, listen. Our love for God will help us keep our marital relationship right. Satan's plan for sexual impurity is therefore a perversion. It's a distortion of what God created to be wholesome and life-giving. Now, number three, I want you to see this. God has set parameters for sexual purity. And we see this in the Word of God. You say, preacher, what are God's parameters for sexual purity? Well, let's look at it. Number one, we need to set the parameters in our own lives to glorify God in all that we do. Folks, listen to me. God's intentions are that our actions be honoring and glorifying unto Him, and that we desire to receive His blessing, and not simply satisfy the desires of the old flesh in whatever means we see fit to do so. This is why God addressed this very issue to the children of Israel when He gave them His 10 basic commandments back in the book of Exodus. And especially when He said there in Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." You see, the wider implications of that command are seen in several other places throughout the book of Exodus and Leviticus, which were such immoral behavior, such as fornication. You say, preacher, what is fornication? Fornication is that relationship, that sexual relationship, before marriage occurs. And then He talks about adultery, meaning the sexual impurities in relationships outside of marriage with someone other than your own husband or wife. And even the acts of prostitution, God covered these things. Sodomy, bestiality, which are some of the temptations that Satan caused God's people to fall into. None of these things glorify God or bring glory and honor to the name of the Lord our God. Satan has totally distorted God's original intent and design of sexuality, and he has caused man to reject what God intends for what pleases the flesh, no matter how wicked, no matter how perverse it may be in the eyes of God. Most people no longer even seek to please or glorify God in their actions and their lifestyles, the way they dress, the way they act, but rather, they want to just please the flesh. And pleasing the flesh and fulfilling the lust of the flesh, displaying their pride of life. We see this nowadays, Pride Month, and display your pride about sexual just perversion. It's satisfying the lust of their own eyes. That's really all that matters to most folks today. And they forget what God's intentions were for this matter. The feminine beauty of a godly woman and the masculinity of a godly man are meant for God's glorification. It's not for self-gratification and lustful pride. Again, the Bible reminds us in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 26, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." And look what leads off the list. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, Let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. You see, the fact is, folks, God made these bodies for His honor and for His glory, not our own. And the Apostle Paul reminds us of that again in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 19. He says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and that ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit," your attitude, the way you think about things, "which are God's." So what do we need to do? Well, we need to set the parameters in life to avoid selfishness. You see, a proper sexual relationship between a husband and a wife was not only designed to glorify God, but it was also designed by God as a gift to be given to each other in the act of marriage. Sadly, again, Satan has, man, he has so twisted and perverted and distorted God's plan and God's design in the marriage relationship that the selfish act of getting has become a higher priority than that of selfless giving as prescribed in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 3 through 5 say this, "Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath no power of her own body but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency." Listen, the world today promotes only a selfish obsession of pleasure and promiscuity, and the world has forsaken God's design of things and God's command for observance of moral purity. Satan has substituted and he has provided the world with a platform of selfish indulgence and pleasure in place of God's design of a foundation of godly obedience and responsibility. And folks, listen to me. You look all around you today. Society has fallen for this way of thinking completely, hook, line, and sinker. The devil has deceived folks. Ungodly sports and Hollywood personalities today make all the rules and they set all the examples for our young people in place of godly adults who should be following God's rules and who should be living as godly examples before their children. God has ordained the home where these children can learn to do that which is right. It is not our job to allow the public and the school systems and all the world to teach our children what they need to know. Godly mamas and daddies and grandparents need to teach their children what thus saith the Lord. Society wants and teaches both adults and even our children to practice this idea of safe sex, even as they're teaching children as young as 5 years of age, as a responsible way of living and to get checked for the consequential diseases as a way of truly loving each other. But folks, listen to me. This is not God's plan. It never was God's plan. This is Satan's counterfeit. And all Satan wants to do is to destroy, to rob, to steal, to kill, and to destroy what God has given unto you and me today. The world says, don't bring an unwanted child into an unsafe environment. Show responsibility and simply take a morning after pill or have an abortion. Oh, may God help us to see and to understand the high cost and the coming judgment of God for living so selfishly in our world today. Folks, our world needs to see something different. And they need to see the wisdom of purity in the lives of believers today. They need to see the wisdom of obeying the Word of God and doing what thus saith the Lord. not just doing whatever they want to do, not doing whatever pleases the flesh. They need to do things according to the precepts of the Word of God. So let me ask you today, are you enjoying God's design, or are you simply enduring the devil's deceptions? Listen, it can only be one of the two. Now, next Sunday morning, on the 23rd, I'm going to finish up the lesson. We'll start here in part number 4, and we're going to look at why do people succumb to sexual impurity today? Why is this happening? Well, I hope that you'll join us here live for the Sunday school session next Sunday morning, February 23rd. We'll meet right here in Baker Auditorium at 9:45. I hope to see you there. God bless you. I hope the lesson was a help to you today. We love you, and we look forward to seeing you next Sunday morning live right here in the Conqueror Sunday School class.